Tov. So we're very close to Pesach, and we already learned many different ways how to prepare for Pesach, how to recognize the things that limit me in my life, so I know how to have my own Yetziat Mitzrayim, my own going out of Egypt. And today I want to talk about something that most people tend to ignore, that is called freedom. And this holiday, I told you before, is called the holiday of freedom. In the Torah, the holiday of Pesach is called Chag HaMatzot, the holiday of Matzahs. And it's also called Chag HaChirut, the holiday of freedom. Later on, our sages came and called it Pesach. This is a newer edition. It doesn't say in the Torah calling it like that. It's calling it Chag HaMatzot or Chag HaChirut. So, Chag HaChirut, Chag is a holiday, Chirut is freedom. This is called the holiday of freedom because we went from slavery into freedom. Now, even though the actual story happened, and 3,300 something years ago, we did go out of slavery after 210 years of slavery. But everything that's happening in the physical level also happens in the spiritual level. And at that time, that's when we went into our spiritual freedom. And every year, like a cycle, we are slaves and we can go out of our spiritual slavery. The reason why I'm saying can, because a lot of people don't. They either are completely not connected to God and they're stuck in their slavery, or they just didn't prepare the right way. And even though a person can be a God-fearing person and Torah observant and still stay in their exile and not gain the ability to go out of their own jail. So really, when you're thinking of it, freedom is the most basic thing of our life. You want to be free. You want to be free to do whatever you want. I don't know if any of you ever experienced it, and I don't wish it to anyone, but when they take the freedom of a person, that's the worst thing one can experience. Whether it's jail, whether it's chas v'shalom, any type of captivity, whether it's being hospitalized, whether it's being trapped, in any type of a relationship that you lose your freedom completely, any way that you don't have your freedom is the worst form of torture and punishment. You want to close the window? Yeah, go ahead. So, any type of loss of freedom is one of the worst things a person can experience. Now, I actually had this conversation not too long ago with somebody about jail, and somebody said jail is the worst punishment one can get. And I said, yeah, you're right, I agree with that. But there are certain individuals that you need them off the streets. Yeah, certain individuals, if they're going to be out in the world, they're going to kill, they're going to steal, they're going to rape, you have to get them off the streets. I agree. But a lot of people, they don't really belong in jail. The punishment of jail is beyond what they did. And probably even it could be designed a much better punishment. But I'm not here to now make new rules in the world. I'm just coming to say that freedom is the basic thing in our life. Now, the freedom can be taken in a very extreme way, like jail. Freedom can be taken in a very extreme way when some people, chas v'shalom, they get hospitalized in a mental place, not in a physical place. I mean, just by even being in a hospital for a couple months to heal, you don't have freedom. I know an individual that lo aleinu was in a car accident half a year. He was in jail, in hospital. That's a form of he was going crazy. It's a form of jail. I mean, he wasn't there locked down. He was going crazy, being in the same room all the time, can't move. But there are many different ways that a person can be locked up And unfortunately, in our generation, and probably in previous generations, some people they get locked up in a mental institute against their will, and there's nothing wrong with them. Just at that place, makes money over them, or some whatever it is. So, unfortunately, in our generation also, you will find that, and it's pretty common, unfortunately, that people find themselves locked up in a hospital, in a mental hospital, and nothing's wrong with them. That's another form of jail. Now, there's a different type of slavery, of jail, that you're jailed in a relationship. And that can sometimes be even worse than being closed in four walls. Some people are finding themselves in a relationship that the person is, there's no freedom. Very abusive relationship, very controlling relationship, that the person cannot just get up and leave because of fear or whatever it is, and the person doesn't have freedom. So there are many types of ways when a person loses their freedom. There are extreme ways like jail, and there are also not so extreme ways that I have a job that I can't stand. That's also a type of a way that I don't have my freedom. I have a very hard relationship, and it can be not with my spouse that I can just get divorced. It can be with my parent. I can't divorce my parent. I can't get rid of my parent or my child, and I'm stuck in this relationship, and I don't have freedom. But there's many different types of ways that I don't have my freedom, and it can be very small things, like I told you, a job that I don't like, a financial situation. You know, credit card debt is also a loss of freedom because my money is held by the bank or by the credit card company, and I owe now X amount of money to the company, the credit card company or the bank. That's loss of freedom. My money is not free to do whatever I want. What I want to understand from that is that freedom is the basic thing in our life and what I want. I want freedom. I want to be free to do whatever I want. And when I don't have my freedom, then it's a problem. And you know what another form of losing freedom is? When I'm addicted to something and I don't have it. If I'm addicted to cigarettes and I don't have my cigarettes, I'm jailed in a limitation. That's another type of loss of freedom. I like coffee. If I don't have coffee, that's a problem. If I like whatever it is, then that's not good. That's why many times I mentioned that when I became religious, I could not stand the fact I was a smoker, I was addicted to many different things. Basic things, coffee, TV show, people are addicted to the phone. Anything that you are addicted to, you lost your freedom. If you're addicted to your phone and you cannot leave your house without your phone, because chas v'shalom, somebody might text you a smiley and you're going to miss it, you're addicted to the phone, you're not free. You don't have a freedom. If I can now leave my home and be going crazy because I don't have something with me, today it can be a phone or whatever it is, that's a form of addiction. And you can call it an addiction, I will call it a loss of freedom. I'm not free. If you can't go now 3 days without your phone, you are not a free person. So I want to get to a point that I'm totally free. Because if I don't have my freedom, I'm jailed. I'm in a limitation. And I am suffering. Some type of a suffering. And the suffering can be extreme. The suffering can be not so extreme. So if I'll be chas v'shalom jailed, then the suffering is extreme. If I'm in a very abusive relationship, my suffering is extreme. If I go away on a vacation and I forgot a certain thing, then the suffering is not that bad. It happens to me when I travel a lot. I already have a to-take list. That before I go, I have a list. The phone charger, the earphones, my passport. Because I don't like leaving the home and 100 kilometers away from home. Oi, I forgot. So the whole week I'm going to have to go now without a certain thing that I like. Anything that I cannot live without, that is the definition of me not being free. And each person can observe in their own life where and how they're not free. And if you can find that you are totally free from everything, then you are called a ben chorin, a person of that you're totally free person. That's why we read in the Haggadah that we want to be b'nei chorin, a person of freedom, that nothing is holding me back, nothing is limiting me, I'm totally, totally free. And there's nothing more happy than freedom. When you get out of a bad relationship, you get out of a bad situation, a bad contract, not to say a bad being in jail or hospitalized, free, I got rid of it. So this is the holiday of freedom. And this is the holiday that I can reach my freedom. And if you have to make an analysis in your life, if you are free or not. That's why I told you, when you're scrubbing the floor, your mind has to be like, where is the chametz that I have to get rid of? This is another form of not being free. If I have a problem with being very judgmental, and it gets to me, I'm not a free person, because I'm carrying this judgment all the time. She said this, he said that, he looked at me like this, she talked that. That's not being free, because I'm holding something negative in me. So you got the point of the concept of being free. There are many different types of levels in it. But you need to look inside of you and say, okay, where am I not free? Now, the definition of freedom, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, it said, Mikhtav Elokim Charut al Aluchot. The letter of Hashem, the letter from Hashem came down on the Luchot, on the tablets. Now, Luchot in Hebrew is the name of the actual tablets, but the beauty in here that it says that the letters were engraved, charut al aluchot. It wasn't written, it wasn't ink, it wasn't any other way, it was engraved on the tablets. Why? Because in ink you can delete, and when you engrave something, you cannot unengrave it. You can maybe cover it, but you'll see that it was fixed. Once you engrave into something, that's it, it's part of it. And what was it was engraved? The letters. Now it says that the letters were engraved. Engraved in Hebrew is charut. So our sages say, don't read it charut, read it cherut. Cherut is freedom. Which means that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from the mountain the Torah, he brought freedom. He brought the tool that will bring me, that will set me free. Now if you're looking at it in physical eyes, he did not bring any freedom. He brought rules. He brought segregation. He brought the most thing that is the opposite of freedom. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't say this. Don't say that. He didn't bring freedom. That's how it seems. It seems that he did not bring freedom. Because now I can do this. I can't look there, I can't say that, I can't eat this, I can't move this. That's freedom. That's what you call freedom. That's the opposite of freedom. He didn't bring any freedom here. He brought the ultimate opposite of freedom. But that's what we perceive. That's what we think. When you free to do whatever you want, that's not freedom. You have to ask yourself a question, what is real freedom? Doing whatever I want, is that freedom? That's not real freedom. That's the problem in our generation, that I perceive that me doing whatever I want, that's my freedom. Really, when I'm in a system of rules, that's when I'm free. When I'm not in a system of rules, then there's no freedom here. Because you know why? Because I don't make any decision. Society makes the decision for me. I'm a herd. I'm not free, I'm in a herd. So if society now decides that this name tag is popular, everybody buys the name tag, then I'm a herd, I buy the name tag too. Because I want to be part of the society. And if society now will say that it's popular to get dressed a certain way, like fashion, or a certain song is popular, we like herds. We don't go with we don't have our own mind. Now, when I don't think for myself, I'm not free. And 99.999% of people of the world, they're not thinking for themselves. They're being taught what to say, what to think, how to dress. You dress a certain way because you belong in a community. I dress like this because I belong in a society, in a community, and I dress because everybody's dressed like that. Very few people, they dress however they want. That doesn't say in halacha how I have to dress. It says I have to dress modest, I have to dress like this or like that. But you see that if you belong to this community, you're dressed a certain way. You belong to that community, you dress a certain way. So, and this is one example out of many. But if chas v'shalom, now somebody will go out, somebody powerful will go out and will go against a certain thing, then everybody will not use it. Like they're trying to do now with Israel, to boycott certain products. So powerful people, they boycott a certain product. I can guarantee to you that 95% of people that boycott the products of Israel, they don't even know where Israel is on the map even. I can guarantee to you that. They don't know where Israel is. They don't know even what's Israel. They don't know why they're boycotting it. They're telling them, don't buy these products. I'm not buying the products. So most of people in the world, they're not really free because they operate like a herd. And we are like that too, by the way. We don't think for ourselves. We just go like a herd from place to place. And we are like, we have in our system the system of belief. Unfortunately, instead of believing in the Torah and the mitzvot and believing in Hashem, we believe in nonsense. But we believe what people tell me. So if now some leader will come and tell me this is good for you, I will believe in it. And the proof to that, go now to the supermarket and you will see on a certain product that it says diet. Diet Coke. You believe? You believe that if you drink it, you'll be thinner. Why? Because everybody drinks it. Or people think that they can eat 7 hamburgers and then drink Diet Coke. The Diet Coke will make sure that the hamburger just somehow disappears. Then I'm not going to be gaining all these calories. So some corrupt individual comes and puts a stamp on a bottle, on trillions of bottles, and says Diet Coke. No sugar added, and millions of people like a herd, oh wow, look at this magic bottle. I can drink it, it's sweet, and it doesn't have sugar. And it's diet. I'm going now on a diet. And you see in America these people that are 300 pounds obese because they're stuffing themselves with fried chicken and hamburgers and junk, but they drink Diet Coke. So this is a proof how people are herds and they believe anything you will tell them. If it will come very wrapped nice and the deception in it is free, the freedom, they'll believe you. So people think that if they drink that Coke, they're going to be thin. The product that they're being sold is freedom. Yeah, eat whatever you want. And drink this and you'll be free. Because you can eat whatever you want. And then they look at the mirror and like, wow, something's... Wow, this bottle is amazing. Look, I'm only 300 pounds. I'm not 350 pounds. So this is the concept of people believe what you tell them. Now, powerful people... Now, this is the joke here. Go to America. Any product that you consume... It has a sticker that says FDA approved. FDA is the biggest mob in the world. It's all corrupt. It's all paid. It's known. Half of what's the FDA approved, it's junk. But I don't know. The point is that if you really look at the products, you'll see that half of them are total junk, total poison. But it's FDA approved. And then you will come with something healthy. It doesn't have that stamp. I don't want to touch it. So there's another proof how a powerful group, a powerful individual, a powerful company will come, lie to everybody, and people will believe it. So this is the proof that we are believers to deception and we're basically not free. I'm not free because I don't think my own, I don't take my own opinion and I apply it. I believe to what people tell me, and I go like a herd. And really, when I'm like that, I live a life of prison. My life is in prison. That I'm dependent on things. That I'm, you know, now it's very popular in our generation that the doctors, they lie to you and they tell you that if you take this pill, you're going to be free from your pain. And if you take this pill, you're going to be free from your depression. If you take this pill, you're going to be free from these symptoms that bother you. They lie to you because it's not making you free from your problem. You're just not dealing with the problem. You're numbing the problem. You're pushing away the problem. You're not doing anything. It's the pill of deception. And again, going back to the same thing, I believe. Because I'm being sold freedom. But it's not freedom. I'm now being sold the addiction to the pill right now. So this is not real freedom. Now if I'm in that level, my life is in jail. Because every morning I have to put something in my mouth. And every afternoon I have to put something in my mouth. And every night I have to put something in my mouth. That's jail. I'm now slaved to this pill that makes me think that I'm free. And bad, I'm not free. I'm not free at all. I'm addicted now to the pill. And if I will now take the pill away, will now I be the same? Did the pill heal me? No. And the proof to that is that you take a person who's depressed, give him pills. The pills, yeah, they calm him down. Maybe a little bit of happiness. Take the pills away. Back to square one. You have a headache. You take the pill. The headache disappears. The pill wears off. Back to square one. It didn't heal you. It just changed the situation temporarily. Meaning, I'm back to square one. Meaning that I live a life of jail. I am not a free person. Now, the definition really here is that I don't think for myself. Somebody's thinking for me. Now, if it's a child, yes, so the parent has to think for the child. If it's a disabled person, yeah, somebody needs to think for them. But we're not children and we're not disabled. We need to think for ourselves. And people come and tell us what to do, what we need to do, how we need to do. So we really are not free. Now, what is the real freedom? Is that my mind is free. And my mind is where my thoughts are. And a thought is the birth of the will. And if my will is not free, same idea. I'm in my limitation. And there's a big concept that is called free will. The question is, do you really have free will? Is your will really free? Who said your will is really free? You really do whatever you want? Or whatever you think is the right thing to do? No, you don't. Now, the real freedom, the real free person, is that their thoughts are free. No mess in the mind. And most people, their thoughts are not free. Because a certain individual will be afraid to go home because they don't want to deal right now with what the spouse is going to tell them. And they don't want to go to school because they don't want to deal with now what the students are going to tell them. And they don't want to go to their job because they can't deal with what the boss is going to tell them. And in the thoughts, if he's going to say this, I'm going to say that, and all day long. So your thoughts are not even free. The point is that we are slaves. When we say in the Haggadah, Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves. To who? To Paro. Where? Be Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro and Mitzrayim. Three levels. Slaves, Paro, Mitzrayim. Egypt, Paro, and slave. And what was the concept of the slavery in Egypt? That the slave did not have a will of himself. He had to do the will of his master. That was the slavery in Mitzrayim. That they had to do, I want to do this right now. The slave said, no, you can't do this. You have to do that. When I can't control my will, I'm a slave. And that's what the slaves would do in Mitzrayim. I mean, we also had slaves 100 years ago and 500 years ago. But the slave is a person that doesn't control his will. That he doesn't have self-control. His will and control has been taken away. That's the definition of a slave. That you can think for yourself, you can act for yourself. You want to sleep? No, you have to work. I want to eat? No, you have to do this. And we are slaves. Now it says, there's a pasuk. Sorry. That it says, Rasha'im hem beidei libam. The wicked people are in the hands of their heart. And tzaddikim the heart is in their hand. Meaning that a wicked person, they're controlled by their heart. I want this, I'm going to go after that. I want this, I'm going to go after that. Everything that I want, I go after. That's for me freedom. For me freedom is to walk into the bakery now and buy five rolls, five ogolachs, or whatever pastry it is. It's freedom. I can do whatever I want. Here's 10 shekels, give me the cookie. I perceive it as freedom. The real freedom is saying, no, I don't need this rolls right now. I can control my thoughts. I can control my urge. I can control my desire. That's the real freedom. When I'm just like out there and I can think that I can do whatever I want, that's not the real freedom. That's just me not able to control myself. Now, if I do that, I might perceive it. Oh, I'm free. I can go into the store right now and buy whatever I want. I have money and I have the ability. The real freedom is to say, no, let's see you now controlling this urge right now. That's really the real freedom. Now, we knew we were going to go to Mitzrayim. When Avraham Avinu made a deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, your kids are going to Mitzrayim. They're going to have to go to exile. And the way we see how it was predicted and had to happen, that Avraham Avinu didn't even argue. Didn't say anything. Go two parashot back, when Avraham Avinu went to plea with Hashem about Sodom. If you remember, Hashem says, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Avraham Avinu, there's a big portion of the parasha that it's talking about. Avraham Avinu is debating and arguing with chutzpah to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What if there's 40 tzaddikim there? Hashem says there's not 40 tzaddikim there. I'm talking about in Sodom. So Avraham Avinu, maybe there's 35 righteous people there. Hashem says, no, there's no 35. Maybe there's 30, maybe 30, 25. Avraham Avinu is arguing with Hashem not to destroy Sodom. A bunch of wicked people, and Avraham Avinu is pleading with them. When Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, your kids are going to go to Mitzrayim, okay, no argument here. Why aren't you arguing? Because Avraham Avinu knew that it has to happen, doesn't matter, it's going to happen. Now why did Hashem create Mitzrayim? Because Hashem says, listen, I'm going to give your children the option of coming to me willingly. If they do that, fine. If not, I'm going to have to take them to Mitzrayim, to a place of slavery and dirt and filth, and they're going to have to go out of the Mitzrayim. This is called exile. Because Hashem said, for whatever bad thing your children will do, He said it to Avraham Avinu, I'm going to have to take them to Gehinnom. Avraham Avinu says, no, please don't take my kids to Gehinnom. I don't want them in Gehinnom. I know Gehinnom is hell. I don't want them in hell. So Hashem says, okay, what do you suggest? So Avraham Avinu says, take them to exile, better than Gehinnom. I'd rather them be in exile. Because from exile they can come out. So it was known that we're going to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is maybe the land of Mitzrayim, but Mitzrayim comes from the word Meitzarim, limitations. There are many ways to read the word of Mitzrayim. We learned about it last week. We can read it as Meitzar, Yam, a limit, and Yam. Yam is the numerical value of 50. We learned about it last week, about the gate, the 50th gate. Can also be read in many different ways. But that's the land where we went to, Mitzrayim. Now, what is Mitzrayim really? Mitzrayim is 49 steps, 49 levels of me going down. This is called lehidarder, that I'm deteriorating, I'm going down. I have 49 levels that I can fall to. I fall to number one, I will fall to number minus three. Mitzrayim is 49 levels of impurity, of jail, of not being free, of slavery, however you want to call it, 49 levels that I'm falling down. That's the definition of Mitzrayim. Now I have to climb out of it. That's where Hashem told Avraham Avinu, I'm going to make the Mitzrayim, the exile, so hard that they're going to reach to a level that their soul is already going to scream for help. Take me out of here. I can't take it anymore. That's the exile that I have to be put in. Where Hashem says, I'm going to put them in this place that their soul is not going to be able to take it. In the beginning, the body will suffer a little bit. Okay, fine. At some point, I'm going to bring them to a level that the soul is screaming. That is the Mitzrayim. And the Mitzrayim, like I told you, it comes from the word Meitzarim, something that limits me. something that puts me in a limitation, that it's making my nefesh, my soul, tsar. Tsar is limit, it squeezes my soul. And I can't take it anymore. And this limitation can be in my mind, can be psychological, can be emotional, can be physical, can be financial. That tsar is very narrow. You put something thick into something narrow, it squeezes on it. This is this pressure that we feel, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is. There is this pressure. I don't have to be carrying bricks to be in Egypt, to be a slave. This concept of Mitzrayim is tsarut, narrow. Anything that is narrow gets squeezed in. When you squeeze, you're not comfortable. You're not comfortable when things are very narrow. You want things to be spread out and harchava and width. So when I'm in the state of Mitzrayim, it's squeezing on me. Now what is really Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim is the state of impurity. And it's called in Hebrew tum'ah. Something that is not pure is impure. Pure is tahor, impure is tameh, Mitzrayim is tum'ah, makom tum'ah. Now, tum'ah in Hebrew, I'm sure you heard the term many times, tameh, tum'ah. Tum'ah is, we understand it as something that is impure, but tum'ah is lack of light. There's no revelation there, there's no godly revelation, there's no he'ara. Anything that is tameh, the he'ara, the godly revelation, kedusha, holiness, was removed. That's the concept of tum'ah, of impurity. Which means when I do a sin, I remove the godly light. And what happens now? Now that thing is impure. Now tum'ah also comes from the word in Hebrew, atum. Atum is sealed, completely. Now when I do a sin, chas v'shalom, I remove the light from wherever the sin is. There's no light there right now. It's impure. It's darkness. And I cover it now with a tklipa, with a negative shell, with a power of impurity, a husk, that makes it atum now. It's closed. Can't get in. Can't get in. Can't get out. Something is trapped in. Something cannot come from the outside inside. This is atum. Now, the word atum in Hebrew has the numerical value of 50. So I'm sorry, the word tameh, not atum. The word tameh in Hebrew has the numerical value of 50. Because we learned last week, both in the Zohar class and in another class, that there are 50 gates of impurity and there's 50 gates of purity. So when a person is tameh, he pulls himself, when he's impure, pulls himself to this place of impurity. Now, the opposite, in the positive realm, Makor Kedusha, the source of life, is Shar Anun, the 50th gate. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu climbed to the source of life. And he reached the 50th gate, Shar Anun it's called. This is the source of Kedusha, of source of light, source of freedom. That's where we want to reach. We want to reach Shar Anun. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach. Now, one level before that will be the 49th gate. When a person is not 100% free, or another way to describe it, it's called a person is sick. Chole. Now, chole in Hebrew has the numerical value of the number 49. 49 is one step less than this perfection of Shar Anun, of freedom, of health. Person is chas v'shalom sick, he's not free. You can have a little scratch on your toe, you'll already be limping. You have one pain somewhere, you appreciate your body when you're healthy. When you're not healthy, you're not really free. So the concept of being not healthy is called chole. Chole has the numerical value of 49. And a person who's sick is not connected to the gate, to the 50th gate, to Shar Anun. And then he's lacking something, he's experiencing some type of a pain or something. Now, what is chole? Chole comes from the word chalal, a space, an empty space. When a person, chas v'shalom, does a sin, the light comes out of wherever he sinned, now becomes a space. This is called chalal. Chalal is a space. Now he's considered chole, sick. Now, what is really that sickness? It's called siluk ha'or. When the light comes out, I will now make a certain sin over here. Then the light gets pulled out. Now there's no light shining in this place. So this is called choli. Something that is chole. Comes from the word halal. Now, we mentioned that before that we have three levels to look at it. I have Mitzrayim, I have Eved, I have Mitzrayim, and I have Paro. A slave, Mitzrayim, and Paro. Now Paro, last week I told you that Paro can come from the word Oref. Oref is stiffness. Another way of reading Paro, Paro has the same letters of Hafra'a. We talked about it last week too. That is something that disturbs me, a disturbance. But Paro also has the same letters of the word Parua. Parua is wild. Somebody who's completely wild. Now, what is somebody who's wild? Doesn't mean that you're like going crazy. Wild is a person that wants to enjoy as much as possible from everything. This is Parua. That you have no limitations. You know boundaries. You open a bag of candy, you eat the whole bag instead of eating one. You open you cut a cake, you eat the whole cake. Everything that you do is no limits. This is parua. In Hebrew, they say also mufra, somebody who is like wild. So Paro has many different angles how to see how is he controlling me. He can control me by being stiff. He can control me by limiting me, by making me a slave. Paro can be the one that brings all the disturbance in me. One way of looking at Paro is this concept of being wild. No limitations. Completely out of control. Let me enjoy as much as I want, from whatever I can, as much as possible. No putting boundaries and limitations. Because I have the ability, doesn't mean I have to do it. You see, sometimes people, they inherit money or they get money, they go wild because they have the option. Why are you buying so many things? Because you don't know how to put control. You see it mainly in food and when a person gets a little bit of freedom, then they go completely wild. That's unfortunately what you see in families of religious people. The child gets a little bit of freedom, they go crazy. They don't know how to control themselves. That's why when it comes to educating religious kids, unfortunately in our generation, I sadly say that 50% of the religious kids, they go off the derech. Because why? Because they were so pressed. They were slaves in their way. They were so pressed and limited. There was no freedom there at all. That when the second that they got a little bit of freedom, it exploded. Now, when a child is being too oppressed, no freedom at all, they look to be free. And where do they look? They look in the wrong place. And when then they find it, then the wall breaks, and like a spring, they go crazy. So that's totally off the subject, but that's in itself a good lesson to take. You can't jail the child. The child has to be free a little bit. It has a little bit of freedom, it's a little bit of air. If not, they're oppressed. And then when they go a little bit out, they'll go to summer camp, they'll go crazy. You give them one day without their limitation, they will go completely wild. And that's any person like that. But this concept of Paro is that I have no limitations in my life. I don't know how to set boundaries. I don't have a bedtime. I don't have a limit. I will just put portions of food on my plate. You don't have to eat 7 steaks. 2 is also good. I don't have limitations in my life. So to go out of Mitzrayim is to go out of this very distorted habit, way of life. This is called Derech Chaim Mekulkelet. Mekulkal is broken. And this is what happens on El Seder. El Seder is the night that I go out of my Mitzrayim, out of my bad way of life. Now, we presented in the last 2-3 weeks so many different angles how to look at this slavery, about this limitation. But I have to recognize in me what's the slavery that I'm in. That's why I clean for a month. Now you might scrub the floors for a month, But that's why for every class in the last 3 weeks, we're talking about all the ways that I can recognize where am I in a state of limitation. Where I have to be, I am in Mitzrayim, because you know why? Deep down inside, I'm not that happy. I have all sorts of problems. I might have very good over here, but I'm suffering over here. I don't believe that neither one of us is in complete freedom. And I might have different levels of the freedom. Some people are much more free than others, but the point is that we're all stuck in some type of a state of limitation, whether I'm addicted to my phone, whether I'm addicted to food, whether I'm addicted to cigarettes, maybe I'm addicted to drugs or alcohol. That's one type of limitation. Maybe I'm in a very, very bad relationship. Maybe I hate my job. I don't have money. There are numerous ways how I can find myself in Mitzrayim, in a state of limitation. Sometimes I can have 10 at the same time. Unfortunately, you can have 20 at the same time. But I need to recognize what's my limitations. Where am I stuck? Where am I a slave? That's why I have the 4, 5, 6 weeks of cleaning my inside. So I can recognize it. That's why I told you before that this was the last class, that it's all about admitting. I have to know to admit where I'm wrong, where I'm stuck. It's not as easy to say, I hate my marriage, I hate my boss, I hate my life. It's very hard to admit because I feel like a loser, I feel like a nobody when I say I hate this, I hate that. But you have to admit. That's why Pesach comes in the month of Nisan. We learned about the month of Nisan. The power of Nisan is admitting. Is knowing how to admit. So I need to search my life. I have to clean the chametz in my life to be able to say, I'm weak here. I'm weak here. I'm under control here. I'm a slave here. I'm out of control here. I have to admit. This is my clean Pesach cleaning. Why do I want to do all that? Because I want to come to Seder. Now, why is it called Seder? Lel Seder. Why isn't it called Night of Matzah? Lel is the night. Why is it called Lel Seder? You ever found that word in the Torah? Lel Seder? No. Seder is order. Lel is the night of. Why isn't it called the Night of Freedom? Lel HaCherut. The Night of Freedom. The Night of, I don't know what, eating crackers. Lel Seder, it's called the Night of Order. Let's make order. I had now 4 weeks to prepare, 5, 6 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever you took. Now I'm coming to the special night. That's why I keep telling you, the preparation is more important than the night. Not more important, just as important. Because that's when it's happening. In less than a week from now, I have the ability to be taken out of Mitzrayim. You know who took the Jews out of Mitzrayim? Hashem. Hashem took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Ani velo malach, ani velo saraf. I took them out. So we have to come ready to Lel Seder so Hashem will take me out. Because if you think that you can take yourself out of your limitation, then that's a limitation in itself. I'll repeat that. If you think, because you're looking at the surprise that came in. See, we just talked about power being a distraction. Now you all got distracted. I lost your chain of thought. Now we're going to have to backtrack 15 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's beautiful garlic.
It's gorgeous. Thank you so much.
You're going to have this when I'm gone.
Bezrat Hashem. I think we're going to have this in the times of Mashiach already. So, but this is a classic example that you are all focused and in 1 second a distraction comes. You don't even remember what I said. We can make now a hatzbah. How do you say? Raise your hands. I guarantee to you, you don't remember where we took off. Okay. No. You're the most off. I said, and I'll repeat it again. I'll repeat it again. If you think you can take yourself out of your own limitation, you are in a limitation. You cannot take yourself out of your limitation.
I said Hashem.
Hashem. Only somebody else can take you out of your limitation. En asur matir atzmo mibet asurim. A prisoner cannot let himself out of his own cell. There's no such a thing. You can be Superman, You can be MacGyver. You can be all those Hollywood names. You cannot take yourself out of your own self. There's no such a thing. This is a rule. Which means somebody has to take me out of my limitation. Somebody has to come and tell me, what is my problem? I mean, I can come and say, yes, I know my problem. Somebody needs to pull me out. I need to come to the place, and then either Hashem pulls me out, or I need to allow somebody to pull me out. My spouse, my boss, my whatever it is. I need to only admit. I need to admit I am a slave to my phone. I am a slave to my job. I am a slave to this. I'm a slave to that. I am a state of limitation here. I'm a state of limitation that. I am a slave. I need to admit. Comes the night of the Seder and we start making order. And if I do my preparation the right way and I clean my chametz and I follow everything, comes the night of the Seder, Hashem will take me out of my Mitzrayim. But I have to follow the order of the Seder. You know how many things we have to do in the Seder? I have to follow the Haggadah. Break the matzah, eat the matzah, put the matzah, raise the matzah, put it down, push it to the side, drink the water, drink the wine, wash your hands. I mean, Mezrat Hashem, you join us to Pesach, you'll see, we'll learn why we do everything. But look how many things I have to do. Now put the matzah in, now pull the matzah out, now take the matzah up, now break the matzah, now eat the matzah, now put the matzah. All these stages, drink the wine, don't drink the wine, drink it, now don't drink it, pour it, break it, did it, wash it. So, I have to go through stages. It might sound like a religious ritual, but we're doing something here. We're making order. Now, I want to reach to this 50th gate, this Shaar Anun, because I'm stuck in whatever gate of impurity that I'm stuck in. And again, and I'm not saying it to hurt anybody, I'm talking about myself. We are all stuck in some type of gate of impurity, some type of slavery. There's no such a thing that I'm not stuck. That's what I said before. If you think that you have it under control, you do not have it under control. That is your Mitzrayim. That's like the alcoholics and drug addicts that says, no, it's totally under control. It's my 50th cup, but I have it under control. I can control my alcohol. I can control my drugs. I'm just taking it to the extreme. But a lot of people think that they can control their life. Now, I mentioned before that the concept of not being in the 50th gate is being in the 49th gate. The 49th gate, this is called chole. Why? Because the word chole is the numerical value of 49. Now, if I'm not in the 50th gate, I'm in the 49. Means that I'm chole. I'm sick. Chole is sick. Now, chole doesn't mean that I'm sick, that I have a sore throat. It means chole comes from the word halal. Halal is a space. Which means there's some empty space in my system. Now, what is this emptiness? Is that I'm missing the 50th gate. I'm missing the Shaar Anun. That's why I'm in the 40th gate. That's why I'm considered chole, because I have a halal. Now, there's a place in the Gemara, in the tractate of Brachot, that the Arizal says, all the source of all cures is in one verse in the Gemara. That's it. We try to find all sorts of cures to all our sicknesses. The Arizal says there's one place in the Gemara, and it can be found in the tractate Brachot. The Arizal says one verse is the source of our health. And there's a story about a certain Tana that he was sick. Comes to him his friend, he was another sage, another Tana, and told him, are you enjoying your Yisurim? Your hardship. And he says, yes, I want to accept on myself the hardship because it's refining me. And he says, no, this is not the way to be healed. This is not the way to be refined. And the Gemara says four words. Yahiv le yede veyukme. He gave him his hand and he pulled him. The Arizal says, this is the answer to all our sicknesses. Yahiv le yede. Yahiv yelede, Yahiv is, and he gave lay to him, yede, his hand. Three words. These three words have an acronym of Yud, Lamed, Yud. Yahiv, lay, yede. There are 72 names of Hashem, 72 holy names of Hashem. Ein Bet Shemot Kedoshim. Each name activates one godly power in the universe. If you know how to meditate on these names, you know how to actually reach to the level of what it can activate. This is meditating on holy names of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not talking about the name Yudke Vavke. I'm not talking about the name Elohim or Shin Dalet Yud. I'm talking about the 72 names of Hashem. It's the combinations of letters. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Google, write the 72 names of Hashem, and you'll see a picture of the 72 names of Hashem. Each name is a sophisticated code that can activate and open some chamber in Shamayim. One of these names is Yud Lamed Yud. And this is the name of Refuah, of health and salvation. I told you that a couple times in many different of our classes. This name has the power to break a klipa and take the godly spark out of it. Okay? That's the power of this name. There's different types of names. I'm talking about this name right now. This name, Yud Lamed Yud. The name that you said is the name of Refuah also. But what the name that I'm talking about, the power that it has, is to confront the klipa, break the klipa, and take the nitzotz out. Yud Lamed Yud. Oh, the verse, Yahiv Le Yede Veukme. Yahiv, he gave. Le, to him, Yedei, his hand, Yad, the Ukme, pulled him out. But their acronym is Yud Lamed Yud, V'yayiv Le Yedei. Now, a lot of people ask me, we're going to sidetrack just for a second because I see that I got your attention. Many people come and tell me, listen, I have a problem, or I have a loved one that has a problem. My child, my parent. So there is a time and a place when one can pray for somebody else and pray for themselves too and be able to break the klipa that the person is stuck in. And I taught that already, but I'll just repeat it real fast. One of the most auspicious times of the week is Friday night. Shabbat, Erev Shabbat. On Erev Shabbat, it's not exactly the entrance of Shabbat, it's around that time, we say a certain prayer that is called Kabbalat Shabbat, accepting Shabbat. And it's usually prayed not in Shabbat, because most congregation they pray before Tzeta Kochavim, Kabbalat Shabbat. In this prayer we sing a few psalms of Tehillim, and then after that we sing the famous song Lecha Dodi. But there are two chapters of Tehillim that we read before Lecha Dodi and after Lecha Dodi. One of them is chapter 29. In the end of chapter 29, not the last verse, the verse before that, there is a verse that says, Hashem Lamabul Yeshav, Vayeshev Hashem Lolam, and continues. In this verse, if you're looking, meditating on the words, Hashem Lamabul Yeshav, has the exact same acronym, Yud Lamed Yud. Hashem, Yud Kevavke, you take the Yud, Lamabul, you take the Lamed, Yeshav Yud. When you meditate on these three words, on the name Yud Lamed Yud, you stop, you meditate on Hashem Lamabul Yeshav. That's the first place. Then we sing Lecha Dodi. Then we have another two chapters of Tehillim that we read. In chapter 91, when it ends, we say Hashem Leorech Yamim. It's all the Sidurim. You don't have to check your Sidur. All the Sidurim have it. Sephardi, Ashkenaz, Chabad, everybody has it. At the end, you have a verse that says Hashem Leorech Yamim. Again, Yud Lamed Yud, the acronym, Hashem Leorech Yamim. These two places, when you meditate on Hashem's name, the Yud Lamed Yud, and you meditate on the person you want to pray for, or yourself even, the Ari HaKadosh says that Moshe Rabbeinu comes, breaks the klipa, and has the power to pull the neshama out of the klipa. So this name, Yud Lamed Yud, is a very powerful name. Why? Because it has the ability to bring us from the state of sickness into the state of being well. Now the sickness is not a sore throat. It's the state that I'm lacking the 50th gate. I have no light, no spiritual light, because I damaged that. I damaged that with my lie. I damaged that with my lashon hara. I damaged that with stealing. I damaged that with doing all the sins in the book. Whatever sin I do, I damage that spiritual organ and the light comes out. That's how a person becomes sick. Because our organs correspond to the mitzvot. We have limbs and organs, they correspond to the positive and negative mitzvot. And when I don't do a positive mitzvah, or I transgress, I don't do a negative mitzvah, I damage a spiritual organ, the light goes out of the organ, now what happens? Becomes a void. Void in Hebrew is halal. Then the person becomes chole, becomes sick. I have a 3-hour lecture online, you can go and look at it, why we become sick. Not because it's cold outside or there's bacteria outside. You know that it's proven that bacteria are actually good. People think, this is another thing what I told you, how we believe everything that we've been told. We believe that bacteria is bad. We believe that germs are bad. Germs are not bad. You know that our body is 50%, if not more, bacteria. Bacteria are good, germs are good. This is another misconception that we've been taught that germs are bad. Somebody goes, take your germs away from me. So, we become sick not because of germs. We become sick because of an organ of mine. A physical organ that is manifested, gets its energy, its chayut from a spiritual organ. Then now the light was removed. Siluka or, the light was removed from the spiritual organ. It manifests into the physical organ. Now the organ is sick. So the sickness comes from the spiritual realm, not from the physical realm. So when I am sick, I'm not sick because I have a sore throat or any type of infection. The sickness is in the spiritual realm. Why? Because I do not have the 50th gate, Shaar HaNun. Then I come down to the level of 49. That's it, I'm sick right now. Why? Because there's a void. So I need to now reverse that. The only night in the year is Lel Seder. That's the only night it can be done. There's no other night that can do it. If you try real hard, you can maybe reach to yourself as close as possible. But this is the night that only can be done, and Hashem does it for you. You just have to bring yourself to the point. If I don't take myself to the airport, the plane cannot take me to the other side of the world. I have to bring myself to the airport. That's why airports, you know, Israel has one airport. Some countries, they have many airports. We have one airport. When I have to fly, I have to drive 2.5 hours to the airport. And I always say, why can't there be an airport up in the north? It will make my life easier. I have to bring myself to the airport. I have to bring myself to the bus that takes me to work. I have to bring myself to the pickup location. Hashem says, you have to bring yourself to Lel Seder, I'll already take you out. But you have to prepare for that. You have to prepare the entire month, or month and a half, or 2 weeks, whatever amount of time you take yourself to bring yourself to the Seder. And when you're at the Seder, you have 24 hours, or 48 hours if you live outside Israel, to tap into that power that will take you out. So, I need to bring myself to the state of freedom, what is called chirut. And the state of freedom is that I'm able, the real freedom is that I'm able to fight whatever I want. That I don't do whatever I want. That I know how to control my urges. That's the real freedom. That I can sit now and something is in front of me and I don't pick it up. I don't check my phone every 20 seconds to see if I got an email. Some people get 3 emails the entire day, they check their phone 60 times. Maybe an email came. Maybe. And they repeat themselves. So, if I'm able to walk out of my home and be without my smartphone for a whole day, that's freedom. That a metal box is not controlling me. And if I can walk next to the bakery and look and be like, okay, I don't need now a pound of rogalach. That's freedom. That I'm able to control my urge. Or what I want to do. Right now I want to do this. So the real freedom is to be able, the victim of the manipulation of society, that if I can do whatever I want, that is freedom. That is not freedom. The freedom is that I'm able to control myself. I'm just giving an example with the phone or the rogalach. Anything. Anything that I just want to do and I feel I can do whatever I want, then to control it, that's the real freedom. Because ultimately, my desire is out of control. And I have all these wheels, constantly. I want to eat, I want to drink, I want to sleep, I want to this, I want to that. Constantly. The real freedom is to know how to subdue it. To control it. That's the level I want to reach. When I have complete control over my life, over my mind, and over my thought, that is freedom. That is the real freedom. And not to be impressed or oppressed by situations or things that happen to me. So the freedom, definition of freedom is that I'm able to oppose what I want to do. I'm able to control it. I'm able to subdue my will. I'm able to control my will. And what that will do is fill my soul with light. That's the only way to get light into my soul. If I let go and I do whatever I want, that's not going to give me light. And most of my problems come because my soul is lacking light. That's it. The lack of light. Take a room now, turn on one light bulb. It's dark, you can't really see. Turn now 50 light bulbs, open the windows, abundance of light. It's called He'ara, a lot of light. When I'm lacking anything, doesn't matter what it is, sustenance, love, attention, affection, whatever it is, whenever I'm lacking something, it's a lack of light. I'm the one who's blocking the light. Now look what a beautiful sunny day. Look how much light is in the room. Take now drapes, put it on those windows. We're going to diminish the light a little bit. Now it's going to be a little bit darker. Take wood boards of wood, put it against the windows. We're even diminishing the light even more. Close the door, close the window, put the shades down. At some point, we're not going to have any light here. Did I affect the light outside? No. It's just as before. I did not affect the light outside. I affected the inside. So I'm the one who's covering all the sources of light. So I'm now in the darkness. Hashem is not doing anything. People say Hashem is punishing me. Hashem is not punishing you. You are closing the drapes. That's it. So now you're suffering from lack of light. Can't control. You can't complain. Hashem is saying, I'm giving you and you and you and you. I'm giving you all the same. By the way, we all get the same. Don't think that if my bank account has one more zero than yours, then Hashem is giving me more than you. The problem is in the receiver, not in the giver. Hashem gives equally to everybody. This is called Or Memale. There's an Or Memale and Or Sovev. There are two types of ways how Hashem shines on the world. There's an Or Memale, that it goes in the exact quantity to each thing. Here there's a little bit less light. You see, it's inanimate. It doesn't move. In a tree, there's a little bit more light. As the tree grows. This is Or Memale. Memale means to fulfill. But we all are being created from Or HaSovev. Or HaSovev is the surrounding light. Sovev is surrounding. It's all equal. For me and an ant and a dog and a tree. Same. We all get the same Ashpa'ah. Same Shefa. Now it depends on how much I'm able to receive. That's the difference. So we all get the same. I'm the one who's limiting what I'm getting. So I want to fill my neshama, my nefesh with light. If I don't do that, then I'm lacking light. I fall from Shaar Anun. Then I put myself into slavery. Now I'm not free. And the only night that can reverse all that is only Lel Seder. Lel Seder is the night. That's why I call it Seder. Seder is order. I put things in order. Then I'm able to start creating these channels that through light, the light will start shining into me. To go get me out of my Mitzrayim. Get me out of the state of limitation. And basically what happens in Lel Seder, just that you understand what's happening that night, 49 gates of purity, of kedusha, of holiness, is just shining on us. No barriers, no limitations. Nothing bad can happen that night. That's why we keep the door open. Lel Shimurim. We are totally protected. Don't have to put the alarm, keep the door open. We don't even say Kriyat Shema Lamita, you know that? This is the night that everybody's real happy. No Kriyat Shema! We don't have to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. No. We say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's it. We don't say Kriyat Shema, we have 100% protection from Hashem. Now I know, of course, a lot of people will say, yeah, but you see, bad things are happening. The car accidents, people get sick, heart attacks. Look at the records. Things are happening. Yeah, but because you're not under the umbrella. If you're not under the umbrella, you'll get wet. That's it. It's very simple. If you're under the umbrella, you're not going to get wet. So yeah, bad things can happen on Pesach. Why? Because there's an umbrella, a very big umbrella. Put yourself under the umbrella, you're not going to get wet, nothing's going to happen to you. But that night, spiritually what's happening, 49 gates, I explained that we have 49 gates of purity, of Kedusha. We have to climb it. That night, free. It's just showering over you. I just have to sit, follow the sedel, and a shower of 49 gates of holiness is just shining on me, rising me up to a level of holiness that I will never be able to reach by myself. Hashem came into Mitzrayim and took them out of Mitzrayim. They just had to prepare themselves. They were standing with their backpacks. We're ready. Now take me. That's it. That's what I need to do. I need to bring myself to the point of pickup, the pickup location. Hashem already pulled me out. That's why I have to clean. And not only clean my floors, clean my heart and clean my mind and clean my ego and clean my everything. My inclinations, do an account. That's why I keep repeating it over and over. You have to bring yourself to a point of admitting. I don't even know the noun of admitting. Admitation, how would you call it? Admissions, how would you say it in English? Admission? I don't know. Doesn't matter, you get the point. You have to bring yourself to a point of admitting. I can't stand that person, I have to forgive him. I can't stand that person, I have to tolerate their mess. I can't stand this, I can't stand that, I can't hold myself a mirror. I have to admit all my problems. So I can't do it myself. Hashem says, you're going to admit, I'll take you out. I'll refine you. But if I come to the Lel Seder with the ego out of control, I didn't kill my chametz. I didn't clean my chametz. In order for me to admit, I have to lower myself to have 100% humility, not humility, like to humbleness. And then Hashem is going to take me out of my Mitzrayim. But if I come with a little bit of chametz into Mitzrayim, Hashem isn't going to do anything. So I have to bring myself to the Seder like that. Now what happens is that when I come to the Lel Seder and I'm 100% humble, I clean my chametz, not my physical chametz, the chametz in me, I'm 100% humble, I admit, I accept, I'm willing. The light that comes down in Lel Seder, Hashem breaks all the klipot. All the klipot can be broken in that night with the power of the name of Yud Lamed Yud. Why? Because it's Shaar HaNun. Yud Lamed Yud is the numerical value of 50. Yud is 10, Lamed is 30. You have 50. Shaar HaNun comes down on Lel Seder. Amazingly, you'll see that even in Lel Seder, you have the letters of Lel, it's Lamed and Yud. So Lamed, the Lel Seder, the 50th gate is open. Hashem can pull me out to this 50th gate. I just have to prepare. I cannot, if I will sit home all day long and say, I'm sick, but I will not take myself to the doctor can't help me. Even though today you have applications and you Skype with the doctor, but the reality is that if I am sick and I'm aware that I'm sick, but I do not take myself to the doctor can't help me. So I have to bring myself. And on the night of Lel Seder, 49 gates of purity, of holiness are shining on me. If I tap myself into it, all the klipot, all these husks, this energy that I'm trapped into, can be broken. Completely broken. I can start brand new start. That's why I have a whole week. Then it should start affecting all my midot. There's a lot to it. But Bezrat Hashem, after that, we're going to have Sefirat HaOmer. We're going to have 7 weeks to learn a lot about Sefirat HaOmer, how I start refining myself. But first it has to be broken. It has to be completely annulled. And that's the only opportunity to break out of my klipa. Once a year. Once a year, I have the opportunity that any klipa that I'm stuck in can be broken. So I have a few days yet to prepare. Yes, you have to clean your chametz. Because even if in the physical level I have chametz, it means that in the spiritual level I can't get rid of it. And Hashem says, I can only do the operation when you're 100% clean. You know how sometimes you go to an operation, they know what they tell you? You have to fast. Because we need all the toxins out of your body. We can't have any foreign thing in your system in order to operate. Yeah, but you need to cut a little thing in my toe. You need to fast. Hashem says, I need you to fast. You need to come clean to the Lel Seder. That's why we burn the chametz hours before Pesach. Technically, we should have burned the chametz when we light candles, right before the chag. No, you burn it way before. You clean the chametz the night before, 24 hours before we do the Lil Seder. That's our fast, our spiritual fast, of course. So you have to take all these details that I just told you. I know we spoke about so many different details and in all the previous classes, but this is your ticket for freedom. You have to understand what is the freedom, what is the definition of freedom in my life. And this year I want to be free. I want to be free of debt, but I want to be free of emotions. I want to be free of bad relationships. I want to be free of anything that puts me down. That's the night. That's the night I can achieve it. So we still have, Baruch Hashem, 6 days.
Accepting the inevitable is also talking
about
freedom.
Exactly. Anything that gets you out of the state of limitation is the real freedom. And again, freedom can be explained in a wrong way by saying, I'm free to do whatever I want. That's not the real freedom. If you want to make a quick definition of the freedom, freedom is that I'm in control. That's it. If I'm not in control of my will, of my thoughts, of my desires, of anything, I'm not free. If I cannot control my anger, I'm not free. If I cannot control my jealousy, I'm not free. If I cannot control my urge to this beautiful, tasty cake, I'm not free. So freedom equal control. I know how to control. I control my urge, my inclination, my desire, my lust, my anger, my frustration. I know how to control it. I'm under control. If something is controlling me, I'm not free. This is it. So you take this definition and you apply it to your life and you'll see where are you not free. And if you don't have control over something, you're not free. And don't feel that you are anything worse than other. Nobody's free. I don't think there's anyone free. We're all slaves to something.
Many things that are involved can't be like control. And that they can't do anything about it. But the attitude, change the attitude is...
You have to simplify the what I just said. Don't overcomplicate it. Of course, there's anything can be rooted and explained more. You have to take the bold concept that I just said, and you have to point where you are not under control in a situation that you can be in control. If you are in a situation that you cannot be under control, because it's in the hands of Hashem, then it's not nothing to do with you. But you know what? If you are opposing it, then you're still not letting Hashem control the situation. But you have to simplify what I said. Don't overcomplicate it. Take anything that can be under your control, that you don't have control, that's where you are not free. And you make yourself your own analogy. And trust me, you do it the right way, you will find you have to be very humble, you have to be very willing to admit, and you have to be very willing to accept, and you will make a list and you'll see where you are not in control and where you are not free. And you will pray for that Hashem, this year, I want you to make me free. Why do we say L'shana Habah B'Yerushalayim? You know that 800,000 people live in Yerushalayim. That's what they're saying, a false testimony. I can drive now to Yerushalayim. I hop on the train, on a bus. Yerushalayim represents the Geula, freedom. So he says, L'shana Habah, I want to be completely free. This because you know that the real Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Nisan, it's not Aleph Tishrei. Aleph Tishrei is the physical Rosh Hashanah. Aleph Nisan is the spiritual Rosh Hashanah. So I have now the entire year in front of me. So I say, L'shana Haba, for the coming year, I want to be in state of freedom. Shana Haba, Yerushalayim. I'm not waiting now another 365 days. No, this coming year, Pesach is over, this is the Shana Haba coming. I want to be in the state of freedom. So I want to make myself a list, whether it's on a note, on a paper, or in my mind. But I want to make a list. Hashem, I want to be free of this. I want to be free of this. I want to be free of this. And if you prepare yourself, Hashem will pull you out. Hashem will make you free. That's a guarantee. Mezad Hashem, we should all be free. We should reach the ultimate freedom, the ultimate redemption, that we were not going to be need to battle any of our battles of being a slave to something. Mezad Hashem, we should really concentrate on our task, and with Hashem's help, with our prayers and actions, Hashem will make all of us free to reach the state of freedom, the state of being not sick, the opposite of chole, state of unconditional and unbelievable, and the ultimate health and freedom. Bezrat Hashem should really take advantage of this next week and advantage of Leil Seder and take it to the extreme and know that this is our opportunity. It's a one in a year opportunity to ride the train, take the opportunity to ride the wave, however you say it. And we will be able to do it, and Bezrat Hashem, this year we will celebrate the last Pesach in exile. Hopefully we already celebrated the last Pesach in exile last year, and this year we should celebrate in Beit HaMikdash.